Well, this morning, I'm going to begin to minister in an area that it's interesting. We've been teaching in Seated in Heavenly Places, talking about our position of authority. One of the things that I was going to begin to talk somewhat about, I was going to do concerning the name of Jesus dealing with authority. And so I ended up really changing because heading course here, I'm going to teach on the name of Jesus, and I entitled Authority in the Name of in the name of Jesus, because we are dealing in the subject of authority. And one of the reasons making the change is because on Friday night I went to bed, you know, it's sort of just one of those things, you mind your own business. And I had a dream, and in the dream I saw myself ministering this. And so I woke up and about it, and then I went back to sleep and had the same dream again. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm not going to have to do it a third time. We'll just head this direction. We'll just go over here in this thing. Because I had been, you know, looking at things in that area and looking to minister in some things in that area. But the Lord wants me to go over there. And so then I turned around, and yesterday I went in and I had gotten a lot of notes and things and stuff out and things that I had. I'd taught this subject numbers of times before. But I got out notes and things, and the Lord spoke to me, you know, differently than what He did about teaching it before. There's some things that we may use that I used before, but there's some specific things we want to look at. There's some things that He is revealing to us. You know, we can teach the same subject, but, you know, when the Holy Spirit wants to emphasize certain things, we need to flow along with those. And we're going to look this morning because dealing with the name of Jesus, there's one of the things that, especially in these last days, the name of Jesus don't get used very much in the church world anymore. Everybody's talking about God. They say God. Well, God is a very generic term. When you're talking about God, you could be talking about any God under the sun. There's many people say, and I hear people say this, that people are Christians. And I say, how do you know they're a Christian? They believe in God. I said, well, what on earth does that mean? They ain't believing God. They'll end up in hell tomorrow. Believing in God, you're saved through faith in Jesus Christ. It's one of the things that I noticed, even in what we call popular church music, much of popular church music today don't ever even mention the name of Jesus. Don't even mention the name. And it's because of the seeker-friendly movement. The seeker-friendly movement, they've gotten over into the areas of really moving away from Jesus. These so-called gurus come along and tell you, don't use that name so much because it makes some people uncomfortable. Well, dear Lord, if you're going to hell, you ought to feel uncomfortable. But we got a lot of craziness going on in the church world out here. And I just really appreciate, you know, is Jesus. And we're the church of Jesus Christ. That's who we are. That's who the church is. You know, we're not the church of God, although Jesus is God, but we're called in the Bible the church of Jesus Christ. That identifies us. You know, when Paul prayed the Ephesians prayer, he prayed to the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. He identified specifically the God that he prays to. He prays to a specific God. One well-known minister in California, a huge church, guy's written all kinds of books, people buy them up like crazy. Went and made the statement. I mean, he said himself, I mean, publicly, that the Muslims and the Christians worship the same God. Well, I'm sorry, I ain't even worshiping his God. I don't know who he worships. He can call himself a Christian all he wants. But if he believes Muslims and Christians are worshiping the same God, man, he needs another dip. That boy's messed up. But people buy it, you know, hey, he's big. He's big. So, you know, they go out and buy his books and do all of his stuff and all these things. I'm going to tell you what, I don't want that spirit around me. I don't want that thing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus, hallelujah, is the way of salvation. And we're going to talk today about the name of Jesus. We specifically want to look into that area. The Lord specifically witnessed to me yesterday to go back to Mark the 16th chapter where Jesus Christ, one of his last things that he said to the disciples before he left this earth, and he told them to do, and we want to go back here and look at that. He's identifying or telling them completely, this is the things that you are sent out here to do, and things concerning the believer, the people that believe your message. And so we want to look at these things, because in teaching the name of Jesus, I don't normally go over in this area and use a thing as a scripture. And the Lord said, no, I want you to use this one. And I did try to use some others. I was doing some notes, and then I finally said, let's just throw those away and let's go do something else here. So we changed that. And in Mark, the 16th chapter, we had used this in the teaching because of our position of authority seated in heavenly places. That's what the Bible says, it tells us that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that's the church. It's a position of their authority. This is a place, and I use what Smith Wigglesworth said. Wigglesworth said that Christians need to pray from their place of authority, from the throne of God, instead of praying up to God. We need to sit above the problems and things that we're dealing with and pray looking down on them. See, your whole attitude about prayer, most people in prayer, you know, it's the idea of over the years, I mean, and I'm not trying to criticize people, they were trained and taught this way. They were taught, man, you're trying to reach heaven. You're trying, when you're praying, man, you're trying to get God and you're trying to reach God out there. And it isn't, we're not trying to reach God. God lives in you. What do you mean you're trying to reach God? You're not trying to reach God. Hallelujah. You know, if you're born again, the Holy Ghost lives in you. It sort of seems like God already got you. I would think so. But see, the wrong attitude, and when you pray, when you go in prayer with the idea or you're going after God or talking to God, like you're talking to a God that's 600 trillion miles away, I don't know, somewhere, and you're trying to communicate with Him someplace, and you're, you know, well, people, well, I don't seem like God heard me. You know, well, I'm sorry. God always hears me. You know, those. See, we have contradictory teaching in the church. God is everywhere, but yet God's nowhere. God's everywhere, but we have to pray and do try to stuff to. We're praying and fasting, trying to get His attention. You don't pray and fast to get God's attention. God's everywhere. He hears everything. He ain't deaf to nothing. We fast and pray. It's about us. It's about getting ourselves in line so we can hear. The problem is not God hearing. The problem is you hearing. That's the problem. Most of the time, people's flesh is much too loud. This is one of the things that we need to understand. The busyness of these latter days is why America is in the trouble it's in, because Christians can't hear from God anymore. They are so busy doing all their stuff, they can't hear from God. You know, I'm amazed here lately, especially, you know, getting quiet, and I make sure, you know, it's one thing is going to bed at night and that stuff is one thing. When I lay down in bed at night, it's amazing how I hear God, because I get quiet on the inside. That's why you got to go to bed without any kind of worries and stuff. If you're going to bed and you're laying there in bed and you're awake because you're thinking of all your problems, you ain't going to hear God in bed either. You got to learn to get quiet. I'll tell you, I go to bed, I ain't going to worry about nothing. I don't care what's going on. They say, well, what if you die? So what? I'll end up in heaven. Let me alone. You know, dear God, we don't have to worry about a thing. We need to hear from God. If anything, right now, of our nation and the church needs to hear from heaven. Personally, not from a minister. Personally. Christians need to hear from God personally. They're not doing that. We were trained and taught back in the 80s when I came into the kingdom in 1980. I came into the kingdom, we were trained and taught to hear God for ourselves. And we weren't looking for the next greatest preacher to hear God for us. We wanted to hear Him. We wanted God to speak and give us answers for our lives. You know, you can't look in the Bible and find answers for everything or something specific to your life. I couldn't find in the Bible where it said, Ed Gibson, you're called to be in the ministry. I can't find it nowhere in Scripture. I didn't find my name once in the Bible. It ain't written there. You have to hear from heaven. You're going to have to hear God. God's going to have to speak to you. God's going to have to reveal things to you. And it's like that through. There's all kinds of things. There's general things. The Bible gives us general information. But to apply to our life, we need it revealed to us by God personally. Because, you know, it's different. Mike has different circumstances. Darlene, everybody sitting here has different circumstances. You got stuff you're going through that I ain't going through. You need to hear from heaven for you, for your answers. What you need revealed to you for your situation. You need that. Hallelujah. And God wants to speak to us personally. You know, people talk about you need a personal relationship with God. Yet most people think it's weird that God would talk to you. I think it's weird that He don't. When a person tells me God don't talk to him, I don't know that God. My God's been talking to me since the night I got born again. The night I got born again, I knew I was called to the ministry. I knew it. I didn't even know what the Scriptures even said about being called to the ministry. But I had no idea. But I knew it. Craziest thing in the world. I just knew I was called to the ministry. Wanda got born again some months after I was born again. And the first thing, she got born again. She knew that I was called to the ministry. It's the first thing. I never talked to her about it, never said a thing about it. And she knew I was called to the ministry. She told me about it. I said, yeah, I got that one too. I wonder what that means. So anyhow, so God reveals things to us and shows us things. Hallelujah. But we're looking here in the book of Mark. Jesus is leaving in verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, or all creation, or however, but everybody that's out there. It says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And then he said, and these signs will follow those who believe. These signs, and then he goes, now look, the ones who believe, these signs are, he didn't say, these signs will follow the apostles. He said, you go out here, this is your job, you preach the gospel and the purpose of the gospel so people believe something. This gospel leads men to believe the gospel. We need to understand this, what's this gospel? There's something that we find out about. The ones who believe, he says this, in my name they will cast out demons. So we know this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's about Jesus. Because it couldn't be about something else, because he says, he goes here and tells them, this gospel they go preach, these signs will follow those believers. And he says, in my name, they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues. He makes mention here, the people who believe this gospel. The people who believe. We need to understand, our gospel is about Jesus Christ. And it's about the name of Jesus Christ. It's very interesting, one of the things that the Lord... And that I had never really thought about before, but is in yesterday just going over some things and sitting down, and I noticed one thing. It's quite interesting concerning Scripture. I don't know if I'll go over it specifically, go through Scriptures eventually and teach on it. It's however the Holy Spirit wants to lead in these teachings. But it's very interesting. When we talk about, authority, we usually talk from the standpoint that somebody sits in an office of some sort. They have a position that they have, and that position is because they have this authority. I found it quite interesting in looking at Scriptures. The office that Jesus sits in is because of his name, not because the office was made because of his name. The authority is in the name, it's not in the office. See, I started to realize this. The Holy Spirit started to reveal this to me, because Americans teach the Bible from a democracy idea. And we don't have vote in heaven. Heaven has no vote. Heaven don't ask you what you think of the subject. They don't ask you, heaven don't ask you what you think of Jesus Christ. But it's interesting, because the Bible says concerning in Hebrews that there was this name set. It says he gave him a name, which is that he inherited a name. The name, he didn't say he inherited an office. He inherited a name. And that we need to understand, the authority is in the name, not in an office. The office of King and Kings is Lord is because he walked in the light of the name. It's interesting concerning that name, and let me just say this. You see, isn't it interesting, God gave, now some people think it's strange, well, God gave Jesus the name before he ever died on the cross, raised from the dead and all this thing, he did that. But you need to understand, God's a God of faith. God gave Abraham, his name was Abram, and gave him the name Abraham before he ever, which is means the father of multitude, long before he ever became a father of a multitude. You need to understand how God operates. God put Jesus in the earth and gave him the name, and he became what the name is. You need to understand that's how faith works. People don't understand it. The church world today runs all backwards in what faith is. Jesus said, if you say this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and you don't doubt in your heart, but believe those things you'll say will come to pass, you'll have what you say. In other words, the saying comes before the happening. He comes along and he gives Abraham a name, and Abraham calls himself the name, and he becomes the name. Jesus came and from the time of a baby was called the name, and he became the name and fulfilled all that the name said he would. Hallelujah. And when he left, now that name is above every name. That's how faith works. See, I always learned about this. You're going to become what you believe you are and say you are today. You'll never go no more farther than your mouth will take you. You know, you see yourself from a position of weakness and you call yourself that. That's as far as you'll go. See, it's one of the things that they did. It's one of the things that studying the Bible that we lost in the church world today. You know, some of the Christian nations haven't. You know, some of the Christian nations, when you get to become a Christian, they change your name. Because now they give you a name that means something. Today we have all these cute little names, but you know, we don't understand the importance. In the Bible, they named people with a purpose because people, they understood this fact, that people became what their names were. Go sit down sometime and look what names mean in the Bible. Thank God. You know what? God spoke to me about when I first got born again. My name, Edward. The word Edward means a guardian. And it is a person of royalty. And the Lord told me, He said, you've always been a guardian. You're a guy that protects stuff. You're the guy that stands for stuff. Even as a sinner, I'd do that. When I was in high school as a kid, I used to always like to punch the guys and stuff in the mouth that used to like to pick on the little guys. I used to love to fight those guys. I hated them. I was always a guardian. I'd always have friends that were guys that people would pick on. Because they'd pick on them, I'd go punch the guy in the mouth for picking on them. These guys would get their reputation of being tough, and they weren't tough. And I was so stupid, I didn't care if they could beat me up. It didn't matter. They were going to find out I was there anyhow. Just the way I was, you know. But I always was. See, you become something. And he told me about what that name meant. Well, there's a fulfillment that would have it, really, when I became a Christian. There's a fulfillment of that. Well, we need to understand it's important. And see, that's a thing of faith. You know, they became what their name was. Look through the Bible, the people that ended up, when their parents gave them a stupid name, they ended up being not turning out to be much. See, a lot of people don't like this naming stuff in the Bible. You ought to study it sometime. You'd find out. If we'd have learned something in America, we wouldn't be giving our kids all kind of squirrely names. Because kids are so squirrely today because they're becoming their nothing name. That's what they call them all the time. And then the kid messes up, then they start calling them stupid. They start calling them... It's because the church doesn't understand faith at all. They don't know what faith is. It's putting the right names out there where you're calling somebody. You look at who God named in the Bible. They became everything their name was. They became what their name... That's why God got Abraham out of that thinking of not having kids. Call yourself a guy that has a multitude. See, you got to get the right stuff on your voice. Get the right things on your voice, saying the right stuff. See, Jesus was given the right name. He's walking around calling himself a name that was, the Bible says, was set aside by God that he inherited, which was a name above every name. And he's walking around out there, and that name is going to change the destiny of the world. The name changed the destiny of the world. The name changed the destiny of the world. Saying the right thing will change your destiny. Speaking the right things. That's why you want to know what God said about you and saying what God said about you, no matter what the opinion of others is on the subject. You know, Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. That qualifies me as a king. I'm royalty. I'm qualified as it. Jesus Christ ate the King of the kings of this world. So a lot of people think, no, it's the church. We're the kings and the priests of God. That's who we are. We need to start calling ourselves in line. You know, people today, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. And the sinner is the capital S, capital I, capital N-N-E-R, all of it capital, sinner. And the church has done well at it by calling itself that. Instead of calling itself a child of God, born of God, temple of God, the Spirit of God indwells me. Instead of saying those words, they magnify sin. And the church has lived up to it, to man the hilt, where sin today dominates most of the church world. My God, the majority of Christians in America, people born again, voted for a pagan guy to run our government. I mean, think about it, folks. It's absolutely insane. But see, when people don't see themselves as what they are, hallelujah, I'm going to tell you what, you're children of God. I'll tell you, Speak of yourself in the light of what the Word of God says you are. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I want to tell you what, every Christian is in a place of office today that is greater than any presidency, any king, anything in this earth. Nobody holds a title in this earth compared to what a Christian has been made in Christ Jesus. We need to see ourselves in the position. The church needs to come back and take its place of position again of who we really are and what God has made us. Hallelujah. Quit acting like inferiors in this world. Quit telling sinners, oh, I'm just like you are. I tell sinners, I ain't nothing like you. I was one of your bunch one day. I ain't one of your bunch anymore. Hallelujah. I'm a child of God. I'm born again. Hallelujah. Me and God talk together. Me and God hang out together. God likes me so much, He moved in. Glory to God. We aren't saying to them to be snotty to them, but quit identifying yourself with the world. Jesus didn't identify with your sin in the world. He never sinned. So He didn't come to sin to be like you. Thank God we'd all be going to hell today. Hallelujah. He came down here and He identified with the suffering, what men were going on, and He lived above it. And because He lived above it, He could die for us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And if you want to reach men today, you got to live above it instead of in it. You can't live in it. Hallelujah. The seeker-friendly identifies with living in sin. Oh, this is going to really help the sinner. Help him keep doing what he's doing, and I'll join him, dear Lord. And we'll all just have a wonderful time together. It's all going to work out. Well, it's not. Jesus said that in my name, He said, they will do these things. In my name, you will cast out demons. I want you to think about that. He said, in my name, you'll do this. Where is the authority and the power vested in? Is it invested in an office? No, it's invested in a name. He said, in my name, you'll do these things. You'll cast out demons. You'll speak with new tongues. He goes down through telling the things you do. One of them laying hands on the sick and they will recover. See, if anybody believes in people, there's many believe today that, well, you know, after the apostolic age and that stuff, all the healing and stuff stopped. Well, we know that that's not true because even from the Bible standpoint, it's not true. But anyhow, people believe these kinds of things and say these kind of things. If that is true, then the name of Jesus doesn't have the power and authority that it had. If it could heal the sick back then in that name, it has to be able to do it today because if it can't save either. The Bible tells us salvation is under no other name. The salvation is under the power of the name, not the power of an office. It's the power of a name. A name is so powerful that when a person believes it and speaks that name, they can be born again. And a child of the devil is turned into a child of God. Think about that. Because of that name. Faith in the name. The power, you know, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The power of salvation is in the name of Jesus. It's in the name. That name. When one believes in that name, and he talked about these ones who believe in this gospel, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's believing in the name of one. It's believing in this God person. He's a man, he's a glorified man, but he's God. Believing in his name in the earth. Demons don't bow to an office, they bow to a name. They are in fear and terror of a name. They bow to a name. They don't bow to an office. They bow to a name. The power of this name is absolutely phenomenal. Hallelujah. It says that they take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. It said, so after the Lord was spoken to them, He received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God and said, they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. How did those signs happen? In His name. You see, if we watch today, I had some years ago, in a public thing, they made a statement about, you know, wanted people to pray, and they asked me if I wanted to pray, but they didn't want people to pray and use Jesus' name. And I told them, I said, you bunch of heathens, I will not pray for you. I cannot deny Jesus Christ because you're a pagan. Call yourself a Christian. We have so much today that goes on in these areas. I listen to all this generic prayer stuff and things that ministers do and never even mention the name of Jesus. As we go in and look at the name, you find out prayer doesn't get answered under any other name. You can pray to the Father God all you want. The Father God will not answer your prayer until you believe on the name. The name is the power and authority to answer prayer. It's the name. It didn't say the office. God the Father has a pretty good office of His own, a position of authority. But He gave that position, out of His position of authority, He gave all authority to Jesus Christ. Heaven and earth and under the earth. He gave the whole thing to Him. And at His name, at the name of Jesus, He didn't say at the office of Jesus. You see, we look at offices because, see, we don't deal with offices. We have, like, say, in the United States, you have the presidential office. It doesn't matter what the person's name is that gets to be president. They get to go to sit in the presidential office. Nobody goes out there and say, look, I'm coming here, you know, in the name of President Obama. You know, people look at you like, what space cadet are you? You know, it means nothing. But I'm going to tell you, it's not like that in God's kingdom. Everybody in heaven bows. Everybody in heaven bows to the name of Jesus. They don't bow to the office. They bow to the name which is above every name. Hallelujah. We've been given a name. Hallelujah. We've been given a name in this earth. The name above every name. Hallelujah. And that name, when it's used according to the scriptures, signs are performed in that name. Hallelujah. That name has never changed. Its office has never changed. If you went over, like in Acts, the third chapter, there's the guy who was at the gate beautiful who was healed by Peter. And he was healed there, and the people got all marveled at it. You know, Peter showed up and said to him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he told him that. But in verse 16, Peter said, because the people were marveling about this and thought it was a big deal. Peter thought this was no big deal. Peter made this statement in verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes? The faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Peter declared that faith in the name of Jesus is what's healed the man. You see, one that we have very little in. Most of the time we talk about praying for the sick and we do that stuff. You know, you find that the New Testament, if you read through, they almost never prayed for the sick. That's a practice of the church today. They didn't pray for the sick. They declared people healed in the name of Jesus. Jesus, did Peter pray for this guy? They didn't pray for him. You see, there's nothing the matter. You can pray. You can pray the prayer of faith. But here we find the authority in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, in my name you'll lay hands on the sick. He didn't say in prayer, did he? But see, we take, what we do is we take what, you know, our religious practices. I know it sometimes in ministering, I've watched, you know, like in very large services, and they'll minister. I've seen many times like a minister walk down through laying hands on the sick. I love a lot of people. And he'll just walk up to him and say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Some people don't like that. Well, he didn't really pray nothing over me. Well, you didn't have no faith anyhow, so what did it matter? You wouldn't have got anything anyway because you thought it was in a long prayer would turn around and do something for you. Because why? What gets it done? I don't care how long your prayer is. If you ain't got faith in the name of Jesus, you just wasted your time praying anyhow. All it was wind blowing. I mean, we've had enough of wind blowing, don't we? My God. I'm just glad I don't have to work in Washington. I mean, the wind must blow all the time down there. My God. Those people must have to tie themselves to poles to keep from blowing away. Hallelujah. We don't need any more wind blowing. I'll tell you, we need to come back to glorify the name of Jesus. It's like with music today. You don't hear much of the new music out. They don't even mention your songs. They don't even mention the name of Jesus. They don't even talk about it. I don't tell you what, I like Jesus. Hallelujah. I like to be identified with Jesus, and I like to sing songs about Jesus. I like Jesus in the name. I like that name. Hallelujah. I know what that name did for my life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And there's authority and power in that name. And I want to see that name for what it is and walk in the life of that name and in the power, the glory, the authority that God gave in that wonderful, glorious name. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That's all it took. Hallelujah. And Peter said, hey, don't look at me at this anything. It's the name did that. I didn't. It's the name. All I did was we believe the name. Hallelujah. The name did it. Think of the power in the name of Jesus. The power in the name of Jesus. The power of that spoken name. Hallelujah. I've heard testimonies, read testimonies, heard testimonies, used at times. You know, my wife did one time. We were meeting out at Youth for Christ out there on Grace Avenue. And one winter morning, we're driving out to church, and my wife drove out to church, and she said she drove down through, and she's coming around, and you have that little bit of a sweeping turn right not far before you get there. And she was coming around that turn. The road was snowy some. She slid off the road, and all she did was about three or four times said the name of Jesus when she started going off the road. And she said this to me after she got to church. She said, I don't know how it happened, but she said, I was heading out to the field. And she said, I ended up back on the road, and I don't know how it happened. She said, I don't know how. So after church, we drove down there. She said, all I said when I started sliding off the road, Jesus, Jesus, started sliding off the road. I went back down there. Her tracks went off the road, but no tracks returned. There wasn't a backup out of it. There wasn't nothing out of it. She ended up on the road driving down the road. I don't know if you remember years ago, this goes back some years, there was two 747s that collided. I forget what island it was on. What was that? The Tinnaman Island. That's it. There's two 747s collided. One was taking off and one was landing. And they hit each other. 747s got a lot of people. I've flown on them numbers of times. A lot of people on board those planes. There's a testimony of a gentleman sitting there. Now, he's a Christian man. There's a Christian man sitting beside him. They're both Christian men. They're sitting on the same plane. Those planes hit. And those planes hit. He said when the plane hit, he was sitting back probably. He was sitting back near where the wings section was, the main wing section. He said he looked up front, and he said he saw a fireball coming back down through. And he saw this fireball coming back down through. He said he took off his seatbelt, but he looked and he, you know, I don't know if you've ever been in a 747. The ceilings are very high. You know, and he said he looked up, the part of the ceiling was torn away where he was at, but there's no way even standing on his seat that he could have reached it. You can't reach up to the top to get out. It's a very high plane. And he said, I just stood there and called on the name of Jesus. And he said, all of a sudden it was like a hand got under me and pushed me up. And he said, I shot up through the hole in that plane. And he said, I slid off the fuselage down onto the wing and walked down off to the end of the wing and stepped off of it and walked away. Everybody else died. He wasn't sitting by the window. His friend beside him, his Christian friend, died. Well, what was he calling on? Maybe nothing. Maybe terror. I've watched people get in situations and Christians, and the last thing they call on is God when they get in a bad situation. They're so in a panic. He called on the name of Jesus. And he said, I'm going to tell you, he said, there's no way I could have saved myself. In fact, when the plane, you know, burnt and stuff, they went, you know, back to the plane, and the plane, there's no way he could have got up through that hole from where his seat was. There was no way he could have got up out of there. But everybody around him died. The name of Jesus. See, he had faith in that name. See, the church needs to come back to faith. Back in the 80s, they used to teach this stuff. And today, they don't teach it no more. They don't teach none of this stuff. They teach all this fluff today and all this stuff they think is important. And it ain't important. the real power of God. I want to tell you what the Holy Ghost answers to Jesus Christ. He doesn't answer to Ed Gibson. He answers to Jesus. If I walk in line with Jesus, and you guys have heard me tell you the experience I had with the Holy Ghost, or him talking to me, is one thing as I learned about the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit, I mean, he will follow Jesus. And he'll tell you, if you don't treat Jesus right, the Holy Ghost won't talk to you. Jesus Christ himself said that he would forgive you of anything, but he said the Holy Spirit won't. The church has gone against Jesus Christ. The church treats Jesus like, you know, he's not King of Kings anymore. He's just my buddy. He's the guy I hang out, you know, and Jesus loves me. No matter what I do, he loves me. Yeah, that's right. Hell's filled with people he loved. We should show great high respect for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God he may call me his friend, but I'm going to tell you what, his name is above Ed's name. Hallelujah. His name, any position or anything that I got because of his name and what he did. And there needs to be the respect come back to the church again. The New Testament says, in the New Testament writings to the church, said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. You'd never know that today. Written to church. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. He wasn't talking about reverent. See, when men lose respect, and that's what happens. When men lose respect of who really God... I mean, think about Jesus Christ and the office that he stands in, that God has given him in that name. In that name, all authority in heaven and earth and under the earth is in his name. That every knee should bow and every tongue confess that name. He's a little above Ed. He's a couple notches above me. He stands in a position of name, and anything that I've gotten because of his glory and his great grace. And there must be a high respect. When the Lamb of God in the book of Revelation shows up on the scene, the elders stand up and take their crowns off and throw them at him, and they drop. The church don't do that. The church stands up and expects God to drop for them. They expect God to just respond to them no matter what they do. There's a loss of respect. I tell you, there's a name, hallelujah, that was given in heaven. And that name will change this earth if men will get in faith of that name and put the high respect and honor back again in Jesus Christ in the church. Jesus has lost his place of great dignity and honor. Hallelujah. He's lost his place by the church casually just going on, teaching about how to get stuff. Hey, I like to have stuff, but I'll tell you, when you get Jesus, getting stuff, it's the easiest thing in the world. Dear Lord, he'll give you stuff. You can get stuff from God. Dear Lord, he'll show up with stuff. But the whole thing of it is honoring him. Do you know what the real treasures of heaven are? The church has lost it, what the real treasures. It's like come to be the treasures of this world. That's not the great treasure. I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ is the greatest treasure of heaven. There's nothing you can put a value. There's nothing that you can put a value on that name. Christianity is founded upon the authority and power of a name. Of a name. It stands on that name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And there is a man, God, who performed in this earth, and through his great performance, through death, burial, and resurrection, and the putting away of sin of men, got that name. No one else could do it. No one else could. He was the only one that could be honored with that name because nobody else could. Hallelujah. And praise God, he is the head of the church. And he has a name that is so glorious. He has a name that is so powerful. That Peter says, well, guys, what do you think's happened here? Ain't nothing we did. It's just a name. That name will do stuff. That name. If you have faith in that name, hallelujah. This same Peter and John were called before the Sanhedrin. And you know what they wanted him to do? They didn't tell them, oh, go on out there and go. Don't do this. Don't heal people. They didn't say none of that. They said, don't preach anymore in that name. The devil wants that name stopped. And the church has said, we'll go along with you, devil. We're going to drop the name. And we're going to have church without Jesus. There is no church without Jesus. Hallelujah. Salvation is in that name only. The glory of God is revealed in that name. Hallelujah. I tell you, I love that name. I wish I had put this in notes. It would have been really good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Lord told me, he said, put some things down that I knew it was going to, I was doing some. Hallelujah. But this name is a marvelous name, is a glorious name. And the church needs to come back to the honor of this name again. Come back to this place where Jesus Christ is Lord. We take communion today. We're taking communion because of what he won and what he did. This is about honoring him. Communion. We take the communion table. You know, the church today is trying to get back, some of them are trying to get back to the Jewish traditions of going back over to, you know, having Passover. Well, I'm sorry. We don't have Passover. This is the Passover of the church. Jesus never told the disciples on the night he was to be crucified that they were supposed to keep practicing the Passover. He told them, here's what you guys do. It's the honoring of him. It's honoring him. God became a man for us. When we take communion, we're saying this crazy book we read's true. This book about Jesus. This stuff is true. Hallelujah. We believe it's true. God came out of heaven. Hallelujah. And he died for us. Hallelujah. God put on a physical body. Hallelujah. He became a man. God shed his blood. Hallelujah. God, man, shed his blood. Hallelujah. And took that blood into the holies of holies of heaven, the Bible says. And when he went into the mercy seat, he put it on the mercy seat and made an eternal redemption. That God, man, did it. That's what we're recognizing when we take communion. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Hallelujah. It's the name which is above every name. Glory to God. We declare his lordship. We declare our belief. Hallelujah. And in that name, I'll tell you, every knee will bow. Any sickness and disease has to bow to that name. Peter said, "My, this ain't no big deal. Guys, it was just faith in the name." Hallelujah. Salvation. There's not a sinner. The devil cannot stop a sinner from getting saved who will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and confess that name. He can't stop him. That the power of that name will take any sinner and turn him into a saint instantly. Hallelujah. The power of that name, it's never changed. That name's never changed. Hallelujah. That power of that name was working some almost 2,000 years when Ed Gibson finally accepted Jesus. And the night I did, it took a guy who was a drunk and a drug user and just a downright pretty much scumbag and turned him into a child of God and did it instantaneously. Changed me so much that my wife said, "My God, I'm married to a different man." Hallelujah. That's why today we don't see Christians with changed life. It's because we have this religious junk preached instead of the real Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, you accept the real Jesus and it'll change your life. It'll revolutionize your life. Accepting the real Jesus. I thank God because I had the real Jesus preached to me. I didn't have to go to a 12-step program to try to quit drinking and try to quit using drugs. I didn't have to go through one. I got delivered in one night. Hallelujah. Because I was told that this Jesus Christ will deliver you. Not today. He'll save you, but you know, you're just going to have to work it out best you can till Jesus comes and hauls you rotten scums out of here, you know. He's going to have to do that. No, Jesus is coming back for a glorious church. Not a bunch of rotten scumbags. It's a glorious church. Hallelujah. Why? Because that name don't make something else. It don't make scumbags. Hallelujah. It don't do that. Listen to the minister, and he's talking. He said, "Jesus will accept you the way you are." No, he won't. That's a new birth about, because he don't want you the way you are. He wants to turn you into something glorious. Glory to God. Why do you want to stay the way you are? Isn't that stupid? I wish that poor minister would get saved. Dumb nincompoop. Ain't got no sense. I came to Jesus for a changed life. If I wanted to stay the way I am, who needs Jesus? That's easy. He don't accept you the way you are. My God. He sure went to a lot of trouble dying, taking your sin, paying the punishment in hell for our sins and our iniquity, got raised from the dead, thank God for us, and then said, "If you believe on me, you get the same I got." Dear Lord. Whew. My God, what a Jesus. We can't minimize him. If we do, Christianity is nothing. There is no Christianity without Jesus. There is nothing. Christianity is not worth spit without Jesus. It's worth nothing. He's what makes Christianity work. He's the power of Christianity. He's the glory of Christianity. That's our Jesus. Hallelujah. That's our Jesus. Hallelujah. And think about it. He saved you. He looked down in this earth. No matter what you are, you believe on him. Hallelujah. All these people got to perform all this stuff. Then after you die, then you turn around, you die. If somebody prays in your name, then turn around, something happens, then you get to be called a saint. That's what religion does. Religion has to do, see, if you do all these wonderful things, you get to be called a saint. The night I got saved, I turned into a saint instantly. That's the most insane thing in the world. Hallelujah. I hadn't done anything decent at all. The most decent thing I'd ever done up to that time was I stopped and met and said, Lord, I'm pretty much a scumbag. I need saving. And that's all I did. And I told him, I told the Lord that night, I said, Jesus, I said, I live for the devil. I was good at it too. I tell you, I knew how to live for the devil. You know, I could never stand these people that lived half-heartedly as sinners because they were going the same place I was and might as well have a good time at it while you're doing it. Dear Lord, why do you get half-hearted at it? I just got into it big time, sinning. And I said, Lord, I gave myself to the devil and did whatever he wanted me to do. And I said, I'm going to serve you and whatever you want me to do, I'm going to serve you and follow you. And that's what I did that night when I was there and became a changed man. Became a change. It's phenomenal. Accepted Jesus, believed on Jesus Christ, called him my Lord, and he changed me, turned me into a saint of God instantly. Saint means set apart. He's set apart. Just think, you've been set apart. You're not trying to get set apart. You've already been set apart by God. That happened when you got born again. You've been set apart for God. Hallelujah. You don't have to do some great feat to get set apart to God today. Hallelujah. He knows what he called you to do before the foundation of the world. He wasn't surprised. You know, he didn't say, well, now what are we going to use Ed for? He knew before the foundation of the world. He knew a day would come that Ed Gibson was going to respond to him, and he was already with a plan for my life. Hallelujah. I don't know about you guys. I think I got one of the best professions in the world, preaching that I get to preach this gospel. I tell you, to me, it couldn't be a better thing. I just can't imagine the God of this universe created everything, lets me tell people about him. My God! And we normally look and say, that guy, I don't know, I trust him too much. Let's give him a job over here doing something else. Hallelujah! And he called me to preach his gospel. Hallelujah. What a God. Hallelujah. That's our Jesus. That's our Jesus. Man, let's take the crowns off, throw them down. Dear Lord. Who would do such a thing? Who would take the worst of the worst, but just calling on his name would turn you into a saint? Who could possibly fathom such an incredible thing? The church won't preach it because it sounds too incredible. That's the glory of it. It is incredible. And it is absolutely miraculous. That's the glory of it. See, we've taken the miraculous out of the new birth and made it into, well, we're just going to turn over a new leaf in life. And you know what? That's why most people call themselves Christians. They ain't even Christians. They're not. Loads of people. They got a religion in their mind that has a name Jesus attached to it, but they never got the new birth. The new birth changes lives. Hallelujah. It takes sinners, turns them into saints. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, get yourself thinking right. You don't have to perform some great deed to be called a saint of God. That's what Jesus made you today. See, we're going to take communion. It's a confirmation of what he's done for us, his death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah. You've been bought and paid for with a price. Bought and paid for. Hallelujah. When I take communion, it's bought and paid for. I tell you, this is like looking at the receipt again. You know, yep, there it is. It's bought and paid for. Hallelujah. I'm owned. Dear Lord, I'm owned by Jesus. You know how valuable he's found you? Do you know how valuable he's found you? Jesus didn't come to save the earth. He didn't come to save the planet. He didn't come to save the whales. He didn't come to save the owls. He didn't come to save none of it. He came to save men. Even the church has gotten off track. And they're spending their money saving the planet. I'm going to tell you what, Jesus died for one purpose. the most valuable thing in the earth to him, the most greatest treasure that there is in the earth, is humanity. When you came and called on his name, the Bible tells us heaven rejoice. Heaven rejoice. And the angels up there, wow, we got another one. Glory to God. And I thought, when I first got born again, they sure see different than I do, because I saw me in the mirror. I didn't think Ed was the treasure yet. I didn't, you know. But to God, you are. You're the treasure. When Jesus said you could ask the Father anything in my name, he'll give it to you. Do you say that's to somebody that's worthless? Would you ever say anything like that? Somebody? Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. Wow. Hallelujah. What a name. Glory to God. I'll tell you, I could just go on preaching about it. I'll tell you, it's exciting. Hallelujah. I wish I'd have thought up of that sermon. That would have been a good one. Hallelujah. I'd have liked to have the notes. The anointing does things. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet this morning. You, the church of Jesus Christ. What do you think about you, the church of Jesus Christ? You are the church of Jesus Christ. You are the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God saw you in Christ before the foundation of the world. The day you responded to Jesus Christ was not a surprise to God. God knows everything. Hallelujah. Time doesn't stop him from seeing, and he saw you. Jesus said that he saw us in him before the foundation of the world. In him before the foundation of the world. Think of that. Hallelujah. God knew that you would be here today. Hallelujah. Lord, think about this. God planned this message for you here today. He wants you to know what you got. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It isn't that he just got a treasure. We sure got one, didn't we? Glory to God. There was an office that was made for him because of the name that he inherited. Now, you and I have been placed in an office. Hallelujah. But that same Jesus Christ said that in this earth, while you're here, you have his name. Oh, glory to God. He gave us his name. And he said, you know, in my name, and he mentioned the things that you'll do. You'll cast out demons. See, there's no devils can stand against that name. See, if the church understands that, we wouldn't have all these demonic problems going on in our nation. The devil's been running our government, and the church has not been using the name. I heard a well-known minister say this not long ago. We don't have to deal with the devil. And I thought, you're run by him, and you don't even know it. You best believe you have to deal with the devil. The devil's in this earth. Haven't you noticed? You think God's running Washington? Do you think men are just doing that stuff down there? Do you think it's just men down there doing it? Surely it's not. Hallelujah. That's what the church world is. Much of the church, while we're in the condition we're in, they thought if we just got a good election, then we'd get the right guy and all of it would change. And things haven't changed because we're dealing with demonic powers. There are people that I don't think they're just downright rotten people, but they're dominated by spirits. They're dominated by spirits. And if you know what? We stop these spirits, it's going to stop a lot of nonsense. Hallelujah. You know, if we get a good guy in for president, we need to keep these demons under bay. If they don't, there's a lot of things that won't change. He'll get such opposition and stuff anyhow. Hallelujah. We need to give him a break. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, the most godly Christian in America have a hard time running America if we don't deal with the demonic powers. Hallelujah. But we were given the name. Glory to God above every name. And at that name, every knee must bow. In heaven, and in earth, and under the earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, we take the position that God's given us, and let's look down on the devil. Hallelujah. You've been given the name above every name. Father, we want to thank you this morning for Jesus. Father, we're honoring Jesus Christ today. We're magnifying the head of the church, Jesus. And Father, we just want to thank you for sending your wonderful, glorious Son. And Jesus, we thank you for your obedience to step out of the glories of heaven and come down here and walk here with men. And Lord God, the great plan of salvation that no one saw, no one saw how it was going to come. People didn't know. It was a hidden mystery, the Bible says. And Lord God, that hidden mystery. Oh, Lord God, maybe there's things hidden from men's eyes today, but Lord God, we're going to step into the glory of some of these things. Hallelujah. Father, you're letting us get in glimpses of these things, of just like the glory that you revealed through Jesus and bringing salvation to humanity. Father, you're going to bring deliverance to this earth in these last days. This year, 2016, is a year of restoration. Things are going to be restored till this year is out. There's things coming back. Hallelujah. They've been hidden mysteries to many, but they're not hidden to us. They're revealed to the church. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father God, we're going to take our place and our step out into them. And Father, as we head in that direction today, we take these communion elements, Lord God, to remind ourselves where we've come from. Who is our head? Where our salvation? How it was made, Lord God. How you provided it. And Lord God, to honor the one Jesus who's the head. And remind ourselves today, Lord Jesus, we're turning our ear towards you to hear. We want to hear what you're saying. Holy Spirit, take what belongs to Jesus and reveal it to us. That's what we want to know. Take what belongs to Jesus and reveal it to us. We want to know what the Master wants. We want to do His will. We want to carry out His plans and purposes because we know this. If we do His will, oh, what a blessing it'll be to everyone. Oh, when man walks in the will of God. Lord God, we don't need a crowd to walk in the will of God. Father, there's always been a remnant that you have used to change things in the earth. There's always been a remnant. And Lord God, in this day, you'll take a remnant and change the world. And Lord God, there's remnants of people all over this nation and around the world that are searching after you and seeking after you. And today they're looking to you and they desire to hear the voice of the Lord. And they desire to know what's true. And Lord God, we're in good company. Hallelujah. We're in good company. And Lord God, I thank you. You're going to reveal and show yourself to us. We desire that Jesus Christ be lifted up and that name which is above every name would be shouted out in this nation again. Hallelujah. That again this name, hallelujah, would be shouted. Hallelujah. And Lord God, that the church, Lord God, would rise up again through the anointing of God and have a backbone, Lord God, again. And stand up, hallelujah, for Jesus and for none other. And no matter what any other says, Lord God, our life in this world is worth nothing without Jesus. Lord God, we might as well just die and go home without Jesus. Hallelujah. But Father God, it's not going to go that way. Our Master is shortly coming. Hallelujah. And there's a glorious church. There's a glorious church that will be readied. Will be readied in these last days. Hallelujah. A church that walks in the glory of that great name which is above every name. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.